Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and an international team of scientists have found the first evidence of a source of high-energy cosmic neutrinos, and this team includes researchers at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. And joining me now from our studios in Rapid City is Dr. Xinghua Bai. Thank you so much for being part of the conversation.
My pleasure to be here.
So let's start with you explaining this ice cube detector. It's a mile under the ice, right, at the South Pole, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Ice Cube Neutrino Observatory has two components, and there's a surface component called ice top. And down below, it's an in-ice array. So ice top is an array of detectors that registers the signal produced by cosmic rays, gamma rays, and it also plays a role to veto background for the in-ice array. And the in-ice array is designed to catch high-energy neutrinos and muons. And the in-ice array consists of 86 strings. It's a string of DOMs. DOMs means digital optical modules. And at the very bottom center part of the in-ice array, there is a denser portion we call the deep core. And that is to lower the energy threshold of the in-ice array. And the project name, Ice Cube, is related to the fact that the volume of the ice being monitored is about 1 cubic kilometer. And it's a huge chunk of ice.
And neutrinos, they pass through us all of the time, correctly? So passing through ice, is that different?
Well, neutrinos are electrically neutral. Yes, they pass almost everything easily. And they also interact with ice, with something, but at a very rare rate.
Okay, so we have a level of understanding, I think, our listeners here in South Dakota about neutrinos, given all of the conversations that we're having at the Sanford Underground Research Facility. But there, they're really looking at the properties of neutrinos. Is that correct? And so this is a little different.
That is correct. And the Ice Cube is looking for neutrinos from outer space, instead of studying the properties of neutrinos.
Okay, so tell us about your involvement then with this experiment.
The success of Ice Cube is really because we have an excellent, capable team, an international team with more than 300 scientists from 49 institutions in 12 countries. And this discovery in particular involves more scientists in Fermi, MAGIC, and other collaborations. And my involvement started in late 1990s as a winter over scientist for the Space 2 and Amanda project. Amanda was an Ice Cube president, 20 times smaller than Ice Cube. And space is very much like the Ice Top Array, much smaller. And when we decided to build Ice Cube, I joined the experiment design, hardware testing, and the construction. And starting from 2013, shortly after we launched the South Dakota PhD program in physics, I recruited a PhD student, Emily, to develop a new analysis technique to study very high energy cosmic rays and the muons using the data from both ice top and the in-ice array together. And it's a very tough job. We're making good progress. And of course, I have to spend a lot of time developing new ideas, which is fun, and also writing grants, which is fun only when I get the award.
You only like it when you win, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we bring Emily on to talk a little bit, explain to our listeners what was really discovered and what it tells us.
Okay, so the idea of detecting neutrinos from astrophysical sources like this one can be traced back to 1960s. huge amount of efforts have been made since then, and this includes the Amanda experiment in 1980s at the South Pole, just before IceCube. And the construction of IceCube detector completed between 2010 and 2011, 3 years later. In 2013, we found the first evidence of 28 very high energy neutrinos coming from outer space. And their energy are more than 1 million times higher than those observed in 1987. And since then, we have seen a handful, maybe fewer, multiple TeV astrophysical neutrinos every year. But we found no correlation with high energy cosmic rays, with high energy gamma rays, with gamma ray burst, or with gravitational waves. And there wasn't any indication of where they come from until this event first attacked in 2017, the IceCube 170922A. This is the name we call this event. And that was the September 22nd. IceCube detected a high energy neutrino with an energy of approximately 290 TeV. It's a very high energy. And after this detection, only 43 seconds later, an automatic alert was generated at South Pole and distributed to scientists across the world. And tens of hours later, many telescopes, ground-based or in space, were tuned to this direction. Among them, the Fermi LAT, a space telescope, reported in the direction of this event. There is a gamma ray source. It's called Blazar TXS 0506 in the direction of this neutrino, and it has enhanced emission. And another gamma ray telescope, the MAGIC, is a ground-based telescope, also reported the detection of very high energy gamma rays from the direction of this neutrino. And multiple research papers have been published about this event, and more detailed studies are still going on. And this combined observation tells us that we found the first evidence of a source of high energy astrophysical neutrinos. And since astrophysical neutrinos are closely associated with cosmic rays, this tells us we have seen one particular source of high energy cosmic rays. And this means we won't have to search aimlessly in the sky anymore, which will definitely speed up a lot of studies of high energy cosmic rays and the physics involved in their origin.
So where did this cosmic ray, high energy cosmic ray, what type of event would it have come from?
This neutrino comes from this blazar. And this blazar is an active galactic nucleus hosted in a giant galaxy with a massive, rapidly spinning black holes at its core. And because the particles in the jets can be very energetic, and they interact with the environment, and then they produce neutrinos and gamma rays. That's how we see the correlation between those neutrinos and the gamma rays.
And what does it tell us?
Well,
what do we hope to learn from this discovery?
As I said, this tells us we have a source of astrophysical neutrino, and we have seen a source of high energy cosmic rays, which is a century long puzzle. People have worked very hard to find out the answer.
So you mentioned that you have a PhD grad student, Emily Dvorak, and she is also with us in our Rapid City studios. And Emily, talk to us a little bit. Welcome, first of all. Thanks for being here. And tell us a little bit about your involvement in your research.
Thank you so much for having me here. This is very exciting. I have loved Ice Cube for quite a while. I learned about it in undergrad when I started getting interested in physics. And at the time that I graduated with my bachelor's degree, the PhD program started here in South Dakota, and it was a great opportunity for me to continue on my Ice Cube research with Dr. Bai and really move ahead in my learning and succeeding in life. So I started early on with the running simulation and analysis with the data and the well-established software that Ice Cube has. And along with that, understanding how cosmic rays are simulated so that we can study how the models affect what we see in our detector. So now I'm actually creating a new reconstruction in which in the past, everything in Ice Cube, when we look at the data, it has always been separated into the ice top detector and the in-ice detector. So my work is now combining the information that we get from both of these detectors to use at once for reconstructing a single event. So this is going to improve that pointing resolution. We'll be able to better tell where these cosmic rays are coming from. We'll hopefully increase the amount of data that we are able to have and have it be more precise for our studies. And it's actually a really challenging, fun experiment. I've got to understand and interpret cosmic rays, the frontal shape, and how the particles interact with our atmosphere. And then I also get to interpret these into multiple different coding languages so that I see real results. So.
And so do you get to travel to the South Pole, or do you just get to look at the data?
I have been trying to get to the South Pole. Because we're so established right now, we don't have too many people down there taking care of stuff because it's all frozen in place. And we have very few failures in our detector, which is amazing for the rest of us. But I'm currently working on trying to get to go down there. So.
Now, explain this to me, because I've seen images of Ray Davis's neutrino detector in the Homestake gold mine, and it's, you know, a large tank with, you know, basically fluid inside, dry cleaning fluid inside. So describe what the detector at the South Pole in ice looks like.
When we have images online, actually, when you compare the whole cube filled with these little detectors we call DOMs, it's so much bigger than even the Eiffel Tower. It looks minuscule in comparison. But they're spread out very far, these strings of DOMs. They're about 120 meters apart, and the DOM, the light detector that we have, are about the size of a basketball. So if you can imagine this big giant cube of ice filled with 5,000 little basketballs that detect light and record all the signal for us, it's a little hard to imagine, but it's so immense.
And I would like both you and Bai to talk a little bit about, you know, when that alarm went off, what were you thinking?
Well, the first response I had in mind is, well, we saw this before, so we have to wait to see if other people see this in other telescopes. And it turns out we were very lucky with this one.
Yeah. It's very important to compare with other experiments and these kind of things, especially because this blazar is 4 billion light years away, so it's a very specific, particular spot in the sky, so the comparisons with other experiments is very helpful.
Now, Bai, you have, you know, in the physics department at School of Mines, this is now part of your graduate work. But talk a little bit about the program at School of Mines and the physics program and where you take this.
Well, the physics program in School of Mines is growing very fast, actually. And we established this PhD program in 2013, and immediately we hired new faculty members. And we're working on different projects, including those at CERF you mentioned at the beginning. And talking about IceCube, it is part of South Dakota PhD program. But now we only have one PhD student and just me. And given this great breakthrough, I hope we can grow this along with the success of IceCube. And IceCube actually has a plan to upgrade the detector and to make it 10 times bigger. That's a great opportunity.
And Emily, did you get your undergraduate in South Dakota, or did you come here just for this PhD program?
I actually came here just for this PhD program. So I originally went to school in Wisconsin, in which I got to do a little traveling and met Bai at an IceTop workshop. And things just came together so nicely that I feel very comfortable here, and I've learned a lot, and I'm so glad to be here.
And then how do we take this by from a PhD level work, take it all the way down to undergraduate work and maybe even to the high school level?
I actually like helping with that a lot. Okay. Not to take over for Bai, but me and Bai have given multiple talks to different high school students. We actually hosted a master class for IceCube. Here, where we had high schoolers taught by Dr. Andrew Smith at Stevens High School, and Mr. Chad Ronish up in Hill City High School brought a bunch of physics students down, and we learned about IceCube all day, about the software and the science. And we try to do outreach at every opportunity we get. So.
And is there interest at the high school level?
Yes, absolutely. And I have been talking with Andrew since the master class, and we'd like to continue, and we would like to produce more opportunities here
and
for
high
schoolers.
And can you help recreate some, even in how you look at data, perhaps, as a way to teach high school students, maybe even statistics class or data classes as well?
That we have to talk with teachers like Andrew, and we have been thinking about this, yes.
There are many opportunities to learn different aspects of math and science through IceCube. So
tell me what's next.
Let's see. So now we, after 106 years, so we see one place in the universe that is producing very high energy neutrinos, and it is about 4 billion light years from us. Unfortunately, it's a little bit too far, otherwise we have seen this much earlier. And it is really, it feels really like seeing the first glimpse of dawnlight, cosmic dawnlight from far, far edge of the cosmic horizon, and after being in darkness for more than 100 years. So talking about the IceCube and where this research will take us, I would like to highlight two things. One is the multi-messenger astronomy, and the other is the neutrinos. And the gamma ray burst, we know gamma ray burst and other gamma ray astronomy study have produced a lot of good results. And the gravitational waves was first observed about 3 years ago. And we saw high energy neutrinos in 2013, 5 years ago. And now we see a neutrino from a point source. So really we're getting together with different approaches.
Okay.
And neutrinos,
yep.
Neutrinos are unique, and it helps us to see far and deeper into space.
All right. We're going to stop it there. I want to thank you so much for taking time and coming on today.